to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us as we set up our shop here, 3 o'clock Pacific time. We stream live on the internet, and we also archive these programs to bring you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And today is no exception, as we are sort of incorporating into our program as the program evolves. What doesn't evolve? You show me something that doesn't evolve, and I'll show you a very stagnant world. We have a couple of items here from Bob Banner, who puts out hopedance.org, where you can find out about all kinds of great things that are going on, including movies and other events. For example, I pulled this one off of an email that he sent me. He says, just a quick note to say that Patricia DiRio will be on Tell Me Your Story at 3 p.m. on AM radio station 1290 Talk Radio. What a coincidence. She's here in studio with us. And then there's a movie coming out. Well, I don't know if you're going to be working on a movie anytime soon, Patricia, but there's a movie called The Welcome with the director Bill McMillan. It'll be at the Faulkner Gallery, and that's going to be at 7 o'clock. Suggested donation is $10. The Welcome has to do with the aftermath. Basically, it offers a fiercely intimate view of life after war, the fear, the anger, the isolation of post-traumatic stress that affects vets and family members alike. So you're going to want to attend that. The director will be there as well. And another movie we are hoping to get the director on this program to talk about. I was fascinated just by the trailers. By the way, you can find out about more movies, and you can find out about these movies and their trailers by going to hopedance.org, and you can look at the trailers to see what the movies are like, if it's something that interests you, that resonates with you. It's a documentary that's coming called I Am. It's opening here in Santa Barbara as well as San Luis Obispo the 22nd of April at Plaza de Oro. I believe that's correct. The Plaza de Oro Theater here in Santa Barbara. The film, it runs at least through the 28th. Hopefully it'll run longer, depending upon how many folks continue to go see this. It's from the comedy director Tom Shadyac. And I Am celebrates compassion, empathy, and incorporation, or I should say cooperation. To see why this film is so special, just watch the trailer. Go to hopedance.com. You also can go to I Am The Doc, D-O-C. That's the website, IAmTheDoc.com. IAmTheDoc.com. And find out more about that. So those are two films that are coming to the Santa Barbara area over the next couple of weeks, and I would highly encourage you to check them out. Later on in the program, we will talk with our AAA editor, Beth McDonald, and find out where we are as far as Mercury and the planets and your life and my life. But right now, we are going to go to Patricia DiRio, who is in studio with us. And thank you so much for joining us on the program and actually coming down here on a day when there's all kinds of activity around us.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you for giving me your secret parking space.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay, I won't.
Now, you have also written a book, but this book is based upon your interviews that you've done with your television program, Paradigm Shift.
Richard, I haven't written a book. I'm in the process of writing a
book. So you're putting that together?
I'm putting that together.
Okay.
Right. And it's actually my memoirs, actually, my spiritual path and where I've got, where I came from. And, you know, my
don't you usually write those in your 90s? You're not even close.
No, no, I'm not even close. But I'll be rocking and rolling in my 90s, too.
Right. So you have been producing a television program for quite a number of years called Paradigm Shift.
The Paradigm Shift.
The
right.
Paradigm Shift. Mm-hmm. Tell us how that program came about.
Well,
and maybe even why.
Oh, okay. For the 23 years prior to beginning the Paradigm Shift on Channel 17 here in Santa Barbara, I was a social work administrator, and my degrees in counseling psychology and my my work was really working with kids from single-parent families. So I was a social work administrator, and I devoted my life to service in this capacity. And at the same time, I was on my own spiritual path, having left the structured world of Catholicism that didn't work for me anymore in my mid-20s. I really went on my quest to understand spirit and understand who we are and what we're up to in this time-space reality of the earth. And I really felt over the years that I had my leg in both worlds. In one world, I was doing social work and in the material world, and the other world was my spiritual life. And I felt like they were so separate. I really felt that I couldn't really merge them at the time. And at 50, I decided that I was really complete with social work as I had been doing it. And I was really ready now to branch into another way of expressing myself as a spiritual social worker. You know, for years I had done social work helping children from single-parent families and the homeless primarily. And this is with basic needs in life. And finally, I discovered that I think the most powerful way I could help people is to help them understand, and this is where the paradigm shift comes in, that there is a huge paradigm that is shifting today all over the planet as humanity begins to wake up to the thought form, to the possibility, let's say, that we are actually spiritual beings having a human experience. And as such, we're immeasurably powerful in our ability to create our reality. And that concept had always intrigued me. The first time I heard that was with Deepak Chopra maybe 25 years ago when I heard him speak in Boston. And then I discovered that it actually came from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit mystic who lived in the early 1900s. I think he died in the 30s. But he's the one that coined that phrase. And to me, it just makes so much sense that we're spirit and form and that we have this power to create our reality. So that is the paradigm shift. The reason why the show is not called Paradigm Shift is because there are many paradigms that are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that this is the most comprehensive paradigm that could possibly shift on the planet today, perhaps even more revolutionary than discovering that the world was not flat,
mm-hmm.
or discovering that the sun was actually the center of the solar system and not the earth. These were huge paradigm shifts that occurred. Prior to their occurrence, people believed that the earth was the center of the solar system and that the earth was, and that the world was flat. The paradigm shift I'm talking about is humanity awakening to the truth, I believe, or you can say to the possibility, if you're a skeptic, that we are spirit in form, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that as such we are immeasurably powerful in our ability to create our reality. In fact, we're creating it all the time, whether we know it or not or like it or not. We're creating it by default if we're not conscious, if we're not doing it with intention. And my feeling is that if this paradigm does completely shift, and I believe it's happening now, can you imagine the world, Richard, that we would be living in? We would be living in a world where people owned their power to create their reality, that owned their power as spirit having this human experience. I hesitate to use the word God because it's such a charged word,
mm-hmm.
you know, associated
yeah.
with religion and the G word.
Isn't that interesting that we have to start looking for new words to use for that very reason?
Right, because people have an already always listening, I like to call
yeah.
it. That's not really positive if they were burned by structured religion.
Yeah.
And so I say source. I say the unknowable, unnameable, ineffable source of all creation that created us, and we are of the same stuff. The metaphor that I use is the sun. You can't have any life without the sun. So if you looked at source, prime creator source, as the sun, I would see us as the beams, the sunbeams that come from the sun. You can't separate a sunbeam from the sun and have it shine. So we're made of the same stuff, all right? So I that's what my life is predicated upon. That's what the premise of the Paradigm Shift show is all about. That's how I conduct my counseling practice, quantum counseling. It's based on this premise. And to me, it just makes all the sense in the world.
You raise a couple of issues for me I was born and raised Catholic as well. And I can actually go back to a passage in the Bible even before Desjardins, where he said, he is quoted anyway as saying, Jesus that is saying that these works I do, you will do also,
right.
But you will do greater
right.
works than me.
Right.
Now, what I found so fascinating about that when I really started tapping into that, and I didn't until more my 20s and 30s, was what is he talking about? He is, you know, when you start taking a look at who Jesus the Christ was or is, and you think, oh, I could never be him because look who he is. Okay, he's the Son of God. How could I do greater things than him? And then when you start going into all of these other areas and beginning to realize who you really are, then you start to wonder, okay, I can accept my position and who and what I am as far as the creation that I am. So what are these other greater things that I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the paradigm shift that you're talking about is a huge part of those greater things that Jesus and countless others have done down through time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, to me, it's critical to us being able to do these, to perform our own miracles. You know, Einstein said, there's only two ways to live your life, as though nothing is a miracle or as though everything is a miracle.
Mm.
You know, science has proven over 100 years ago that this world is an illusion. Right, that everything that you see in the material world
yeah.
is empty space if you look at it under a dark field microscope, right? And the empty space that we see around us that appears to be empty, the field, the universe, is not empty. It's teeming with an unlimited number of subatomic particles that are really fluctuations in energy and information in a field of all possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So quantum physics tells us through the work of Einstein and his colleagues that when we have an intention, a thought, and we project it into the field,
mm-hmm.
that we're actually causing those subatomic particles to collapse into form. So Jesus did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew his power. He knew that he was one with God. And what did he say? I am one with the Father. You and I are one, and I am one with the Father. So what does that mean? You know, it means that we're all the same.
We're all the same, yeah.
I think he was here to let us know that he was not the only Son of God, that he was representative of the sonship, if you will, and the daughtership. All of us, as expression of the divine, uniquely expressed in the human body, and that we have the same powers that Jesus showed in the time that he lived. And greater things than these you'll do.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's true. But first, we need to wake up to who we are. We need to become aware and conscious that we are these immeasurable beings and that we have this amazing power to create our reality and to stop thinking that the world is outside of us and that we're a victim of circumstances, because we're not.
Yeah.
We're the creator of our circumstances, whether we know it or not or like it or not.
Two things. Number one, as a child of literally 5 or 6 years old, I distinctly remember having this perception of the world outside myself, that I was inside this human body looking out the eyes as if I were in a car, okay, and I was watching the world go on about me, and that the world that I saw and that I experienced was here for me. I had a little trouble mentally grasping that, because then I had to think, okay, but what about everybody else? What if their perception is exactly the same as mine, and I'm part of their world, and I'm here for them? I had, as a kid, a little trouble getting over that hump, but that was the perception that I had of the world around me. And it didn't frighten me. It didn't bother me. It was just rather interesting from time to time. And there was something that would happen to me, and I remember sharing this with my wife today. I remember sharing this with her, and she's, really? That happens to you too? I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It's a sensation. And I've tried to recreate it, and I haven't figured out how, but I remember it would just happen naturally, where all of the sudden, I would feel very dense. For example, when I rub my tongue over my teeth now, It's no big deal. But in those moments, it felt as though my tongue was like a lead weight and my teeth were enormous. And I don't know what that's all about. Somebody did share with me that what that sensation was. But it was like I was really, I don't know if that's being centered, if that's being extremely dense and stuck in the physical world as we know it, or what that is. But those two things kind of went together for me. I'd have those experiences, but I'd also have deja vu.
Well, I've had my experiences, too, being on the spiritual path really consciously for over 40 years now. I had the opportunity to interview a NASA scientist, Albert Taylor, who wrote a book called Soul Traveler. And he, as a little boy, he was a black fellow, as a little boy in Alabama, would have these out-of-body experiences, and they terrified him. And his grandmother used to tell him that he was a bad boy and the witches were coming to ride him at night. You know, so he was terrified by it and really tried to push it away and not deal with it. But they persisted through his adulthood. And finally, being the scientist that he is, he started to document these out-of-body experiences. So I interviewed him, and then he gave a workshop in the desert that I subsequently attended. And there were 12 of us there. And he taught us the technique to leave our bodies, which I was really anxious to learn. So it's actually moving into what's called the astral realm. So I'm not going to go into the technique and take the time to do that.
Sure.
There was a special technique, and I did the technique, and I was actually lying in my bed and doing the appropriate breathing and all. And the next thing that I knew, I could feel myself going through a huge change. And the next thing I knew, I was completely out of my body, and I was looking at myself in this bed, in this room, where my roommate was on in the other bed. The size of the room, Richard, was the size of a postage stamp. That was my perspective. So I was that big, looking at myself as a speck in a bed in a room the size of a postage stamp. That kind of speaks to what you're talking about of your teeth being so big and your, because I think that we're unlimited beings. I think that we go so far beyond the ken of this body. We go so far beyond what we could even imagine in this human experience that we are. But it's almost as if we're, I use the word squozen, almost as if we're squozen into this body that is, you know, that is so limited compared to our unlimitedness. And that experience stayed with me forever. I mean, it was a peak experience in my life.
And the word squozen will be in the Oxford Dictionary next year. Well, these experiences that we have, and I've had guests on the program who induce those experiences. I'm always intrigued by people who are having experiences that are contrary to their professed belief system that they're currently in, and that they're willing to go outside of the nine dots, if you will, or outside the box to experience those things despite what their beliefs are. They're saying, okay, yeah, these are my beliefs, but I'm having this experience over here, which is obviously going to change their belief somewhere down the road.
Well, it's the difference between believing and knowing. You know, to me, a belief is from the neck up. It's what we believe, but it doesn't necessarily make it true.
Yeah.
The knowing is the knowing. Someone could hear my experience of this out-of-body experience and other things that happened in that experience and say, well, that's a bunch of malarkey. You know, that could never happen. Wait a minute. It was my experience.
Exactly.
Therefore, it's my truth.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another experience I had which just completely corroborated the whole spiritual conversation, and that is a meditation technique that I do called Vipassana. And it's a rigorous technique that requires 10 hours a day of meditation within a 10-day span where there's no talking, reading, writing, or eye contact. So it's a very inward type of meditation. And by about the sixth or seventh day of learning this technique and being there, toward the end of the 10 days, I had the most amazing experience of just being vibration. I lost the feeling that I even had a body. I was completely just a mass of subatomic particles that were vibrating in the field with the field, with, not separate from the field. You know, and the field is not just outside of us. The field is inside of us. It's like we are the universe. And, you know, you talk about perception. Each one of us is the center of our own universe. because each one of us has a perception through our own unique lens of perception, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's 6.8 billion people on the planet. There are 6.8 billion perceptions of life. Right now I'm looking at you on the other side of the control panel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a different perception than you looking at me
with right.
the window behind me, right?
Right?
So that's a rather mundane way to look at it, but we have different perceptions. But what I want to say is that there's a difference between belief. Belief can be just something we hear that we say, well, that sounds interesting. I think I'll believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Or some dogma that we're given.
Yeah.
You know? But knowing comes from experience. Knowing comes from what your own personal experience is, and that becomes your truth. And when we can speak from our own experience, you know, when we can truly speak from our own experience, we're always going to be telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and that gives us the confidence to really be who we are authentically and transparently in the world.
The folks that I associated with in my early broadcast career, they would privately share with me certain experiences. And there was absolutely no way that I was going to sit there and say, oh, I'm sorry, but the book says this contrary to your experience.
Right.
No, just what you said. Their experience is just that, theirs. And it is absolutely totally inappropriate for me to go in and tell them otherwise. Matter of fact, I should be supporting them in sharing that experience, because it's through those the shared experiences that we put out there, such as what you have done.
Telling their story.
Okay.
Your show. Telling your story is different from my story, but we're still
yeah.
spiritual beings, the same, having a human experience.
But it also takes away some of that fear for some folks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Well, mine is really, really similar to yours.
That's why I'm doing
and
my memoirs.
Away you go.
Exactly, because
yeah.
I think we all have a book in us. Those
mm-hmm.
of us that are spiritually conscious, I think we almost have a responsibility to write a book about how we came to where we are in our understanding of who we are as spirit and form.
Yeah.
Because everybody's path may be different from the standpoint of how we were raised and where we were raised and what we were taught and who we married, etc. But, you know, we're all in this together. We're all in this human experience on planet Earth at this time, space, reality together.
Yeah.
So when we share our own experiences by telling our story,
yeah.
people will recognize the differences, but they'll also recognize the commonality, the
yeah.
foundation, how we're really all one being
yeah.
that is differentiated in 6.8 billion bodies having their own human experience.
And I've said this more times than most of my listeners would care for me to repeat, but I had a person who's been listening to my program for some time and will come to me and say, you know, you have all these different people coming on saying all the same stuff. We're all one. We're all God. We're all this. We're all that, you know. And to him, I would say, don't you think maybe there's a point there? There's something you need to look at
exactly.
if you want. Yeah, I'm not going to force you, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm also saying that we need to take a short break here, and we're going to continue on talking more about this particular line. I want to talk a little bit more about the work that you do. And the process that you go through, I've had the distinct pleasure of sitting with you actually just yesterday as this interview unfolds and getting a reading and chatting with you and experiencing the place that you live, which awesome view, unbelievable. I should have that view. I have a mountain view. Not bad. Mm-hmm. And also talking with telling folks how they can get in touch with you if they want to pursue further dialogue with you or seek out your guidance and counsel. We want to have them do that as well. So we're going to continue on. We'll be coming back with Beth McDonald here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I encourage you to go to richarddugan.com. And we are linked to Patricia Dario's the pronunciation. I know I got
Diorio.
It right. Diorio. I knew I got it right the first time.
You know
and what? For
just,
some reason, blah, blah.
Just think of the cookie, Diorio cookie.
Diorio cookie. I like that. I like that. Sweet and tasty, the Diorio cookie. I'm Richard Dugan, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tom Reed here for the Unity Shop, and it's time for the KCOY Spring Food Drive, helping to stock Unity's empty food shelves. Please help fill the KCOY food bins located at participating Vaughn's, Ralph's, Lazy Acres, Gelson's, and at the County Social Services Office. The final day and grand finale is April 14th. Also, a special incentive exists to help. Dollars donated through the end of April will be augmented by the Feinstein Foundation Challenge Grant. Please go to unityshop.org to make a donation.
you have a message that others can benefit from? A meditation to share? A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present? A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose? Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
This is Larry the Lynx for Frontier Airlines. Today I'm here with Jack the Rabbit to... hey, Jack, what's with the eggs?
Well, you know, it's Easter. I'm a rabbit. Rabbits lay Easter eggs. Happens every spring.
Oof.
Yeah, it's a seasonal thing. I don't know. Nothing I can do about it, really. Oh, in fact, here comes one now.
Wow. Could I get a dozen to go?
Regular or painted?
Frontier's Easter Eggstravaganza, with great sale fares and daily prices all month long. Only at FrontierAirlines.com.
So, Jack, how you feeling?
Ugh, I'm just glad they're not square.
Tell me your stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program, and we're going to be talking now with our assignment editor from the astrological and astronomical fields, Beth McDonald. Beth, how are you this afternoon?
I am divine, Richard.
Are you now?
Thanks for having me on, and thanks, Patricia. I always love hearing you speak.
Oh, you're welcome, Beth, and you are divine, darling.
Thank you.
So we are still, we're more than halfway through.
Almost through.
The 23rd, which is the day before Easter. And so we're almost through Mercury in retrograde. And this is the great opportunity. But you had mentioned something to me that this time period, like this next week specifically, is a time in which if you miss an opportunity,
yes,
you're either in a coma or you've left this world.
Yeah, or something. There's something sacred, something of astrological significance every day for the next week. And I love weeks like this. They're just so rich.
Do they happen that often?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. And but often it's around this time of year or in September. September can be really rich with the Jewish high holidays, the equinox, that sort of thing. They don't happen that often, but boy, when they do, they are awesome.
Well, give us an insight.
Well, for what I'm seeing a lot in clients is because this is there's a lot of energy in Aries, which moves forward, just like a brush fire, it moves forward. And so I'm seeing a lot of people get traction on what the next step is. During the retrogrades, it's not really a time of taking action, but you usually get clear on what the next step is. And because of all this energy in Aries, I'm seeing people just rock solid clear on what the next action or sometimes series of actions are, and it can be a really exciting phase, especially for people who are in the middle of some big project or have big goals and ambitions for 2011, that sort of thing.
Mm. May I say something?
Oh, yes, you may.
Beth, it's really interesting to hear that. I'm not an astrologer, and I always appreciate hearing about what's going on astrologically. But I'm having a wonderful opportunity perhaps to move my television show forward. It's not a fait accompli by any stretch of the imagination, but there has been an event that is very auspicious for moving my show into the mainstream. So I'm not going to say any more about it than that at this point in time, but people are coming forth to that see the value of the show and are really wanting to assist me in moving to the next step.
Awesome.
So it's exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And as soon as Mercury moves out of retrograde, then, definitely return the phone calls, have the meetings, start looking at the contracts, you know, that sort of stuff, and rallying the support people around you.
Yeah. Well, we have a few special days, of course, in this week, and,
yes.
and that also plays into it with Passover, Monday, the 18th of April.
Yes.
And then we have Good Friday. I was going to say Ash Wednesday, but I think that was right at the beginning of Lent, as far as the...
yeah, that was a while back.
Yeah. And then, of course, Easter Sunday on the 24th, which is a big day for me. Because we're going to be going back to the monastery where Swami Vidyadishananda resides. We're going to be recording our third Easter Sunday radio program that will be aired in August, late August.
Wow.
So if anybody's listening right now and you want to hear the previous interviews, go to late August, early September of 2009 and 2010, and you can listen to our interviews with the Swami. We're going to be talking, at least at this moment, the plan is about
right.
prayer and change.
Absolutely.
From his perspective.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So this is some good stuff. And I tell you what, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure my glasses are cleaned and my eyes are wide open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And your windshield's clear.
My windshield's yeah. clear, exactly.
Yeah. And if it's not happening or not happening to the degree that you'd like it to, what I always tell people is to take time out.
Yeah.
Go sit on the mountain, go sit on the beach, go sit in church or wherever you hear God, you know, and listen. Just listen. Stop moving and listen.
Yeah.
And don't forget Earth Day is also on Friday.
Yeah, the actual Earth Day,
yep.
even though we're celebrating it today and tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, if you can't find it anywhere else, get back to the earth. Get
yeah.
back out in nature.
And, and another thing I tell people, too, is try to stop being to control the process
right.
and become part of the process.
Yeah.
Allow the process to take you along and you'll be guided as to
yeah.
what to do. And if that means go to the mountaintop, whatever the case may be. Beth, thank you so much. BethMcDonaldConsulting.com is the website. And we will talk to you again. Actually, we will talk to you again next week.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Just call me in the meantime and we'll sketch it out.
You got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Beth.
Hey, thanks, Beth.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, darling.
And
bye,
we will be back in just a couple of moments. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Today's Chari Center of Health quick tip is for heart health. One of the risk factors for high blood pressure is excess salt consumption. Sodium attracts and holds water, and your blood volume increases. Increased blood volume makes your heart work harder, since it has to move more blood through your blood vessels, and that increases pressure in your arteries. Consider that just one teaspoon of table salt has 2,325 milligrams of sodium. We get 77% of our sodium from processed and prepared foods. Lots of sodium is found in sodas, alcohol, including beer and wine, deli meats, soups, and most boxed items on grocery shelves, including breads, cereals, and condiments. One tablespoon of soy sauce has about 1,000 milligrams of sodium. Salt is basically a combination of sodium and chloride, used for preservation and enhancing taste. On average, Americans eat about 3,600 milligrams of sodium a day, about double the goal for many people.
So how much sodium do you need? According to the 2005 Dietary Guidelines for Americans, don't exceed 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day if you are a healthy adult. Don't exceed 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day if you have high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney disease, are African American, or are above 50 years old. So what type of salt is good for you? Salt can be found in three forms: unrefined salt, refined salt, and iodized salt. Both refined and iodized salt are not good for your health since they are heavily processed and treated with various chemicals. So avoid products with more than 200 milligrams of sodium per serving and buy unrefined sea salt. Limited amounts of sea salt is the best form of salt to use for both cooking and table salt. And finally, check the nutrition facts label of the sodium content on the foods and beverages that you buy.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for staying with us here on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Saturday afternoon. We here on the Central Coast are already beginning the celebration of Earth Day, about a block north of where we are broadcasting from right now. I could run cable and a microphone and get crowd noises, or maybe just open the front door. People are out there and they're doing whatever it is that they're doing to sort of celebrate and acknowledge and say, hey, look, we are stewards and we are supposed to take care of our home. This is our home. I don't know of any other species on the planet that does to the planet what we do to it.
I know.
And I sit here going, it's like Beth was saying, getting back to nature in terms of, recentering and trying to get focused so you can see those opportunities coming your way all this next week. But it's also recentering and refocusing to, pardon me, to get in touch with that voice, that still small voice inside that's guiding you, that wants to, that desperately wants to guide each one of us. And you use a lot of different tools, we'll call them, in your practice, so to speak, in the work that you do outside of the television program. And you do coaching, you do consulting, you give folks readings. Your main tool, if I'm correct, is, aside from the guidance from the universe, is the tarot. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How did you come to choose that particular modality?
Well, right around the time that I was making the decision to leave my one career of social work, I was also leaving a marriage. I was also leaving a beautiful home on the hill here in Santa Barbara. My life was changing dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I didn't own a tarot deck at the time. Actually, it belonged to my husband. And I just started to work with it, just go within and ask and then pick cards. And these cards were so incredibly powerful in guiding me to make the decisions, the hard decisions that I had to make. And I found them to be an incredible tool in my own personal growth and spiritual expansion. And I worked with them, for a few years. And then when I left that life and I did a death. I died the old identity and and became a spiritual social worker instead of a social work administrator. I actually had the opportunity to attend a weekend workshop on learning to become a tarot consultant. And out of the blue in the mail, I got this invitation to attend this workshop in L.A., by the author of the deck that I work with, the Voyager Tarot, Dr. James Wanless. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted him, and I said, I'm starting a television show. Would you like to be my very first guest in return for my coming down and doing your workshop? One of my earlier barters. And and I did. And one of the things that came out of that weekend with Jim was that he thought I would make an excellent intuitive and consultant with a tarot. So, and the cards really pretty much played out in that direction. So I did. And I went from executive director of Catholic Charities in the county of Santa Barbara to reading the Tarot at Paradise Found. And I read two nights a week at the Sojourner restaurant. And I started to build my practice then. And in conjunction with doing my television show, which is pretty much based on the same premise. So that's how I began. And, it's important for people to understand, the word tarot because of people's own dogma that, from religion, that tarot is the work of the devil, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Tarot cards are cards. They're pieces of paper with pictures on them. There's no power in cards.
Right.
Cards are cards. I am not a fortune teller, and I stress that when I speak. I am not a fortune teller. I don't even like to use the word psychic. I'm a highly intuitive woman that has spent the last 16 years of my life focused on building my intuitive muscle. And so I see myself as a facilitator and a guide between my client and that place in them that I call the essential self, the essence of who we are, the God little G, right? Mm-hmm. The spiritual being having the human experience
right.
as whomever. And in that way, people are empowered. They know that they're not giving their power away to cards.
Mm-hmm.
What do the cards say? What does your essential self say through the cards that I have the privilege and honor of interpreting for you?
Right.
So I'm masterful with these cards because I work with them every day for 16 years. And I've built my intuitive muscle through my own personal growth and spiritual expansion. And I don't need to know a lot about the people that I read for. Like, I didn't know a lot about you yesterday.
And I made it a point not to tell you a lot.
Exactly.
I tend to do that, but
Right. But whatever I do know, I bring into the mix of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But I love my work, and I am never, ever, ever bored because I'm simply the facilitator and the guide. My clients go within and ask the questions. Mm-hmm. They pick the cards. I just interpret them. Yeah. And I tell them, you know what? You'll always pick the perfect card because you're getting that card from your own essential self. I cannot guarantee you that what I tell you will be correct because I'm fallible, you know. But my track record's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, an interesting comparison to learning to trust that aspect when picking cards and understanding what you're picking and so forth. If someone comes to you who has the basic knowledge on a spiritual level or a metaphysical level of the fact that they create their own reality, that if they just follow their intuition and when they decide, they make a choice to go this way to the left as opposed to the right or to the right as opposed to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I went right with my right hand when I said left and left with my left hand when I said right. Oh, boy. That is exactly the same thing as you physically picking a card and the right card coming up that is going to answer your question or give you insight into...
They pick the card.
Oh, no. When I say you, I mean them as the you, not you specifically, Patricia.
Right.
But that's the same exact thing. And again, the power isn't in the cards. The power is in us.
You're the oracle.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about oracles, cards being oracles or Yi Ching coins or the rune stones, and there's so many different decks out there now, divination decks. You just go to Paradise Fountain, and there's like 10, 15, 20 decks.
Oh, yeah.
When before, you know, the Tarot, which goes back to the Egyptian mystery schools and then fleshed out more with the minor arcana cards during the Middle Ages, that deck was a threat to the church at the time. You know, anything spiritual was threat to the church, which is why so many women got burned as witches for being healers and for being herbologists and just being in tune with their own intuition and their own spirituality. So that's how the Tarot got a bad rap because, you know, it was used as a divination tool. But if you look at the cards, the old decks, like the Waite-Rider deck or some of the other, the Thoth deck, they're beautiful decks, but you look at them and you can see why Tarot got a bad rap because the words are failure, lust, greed, you know.
They're
words that really are not contributing to us, where even though there are challenge cards in the deck I work with, the deck is very contemporary, designed and written in the 80s. So they're very uplifting, and they're really about inspiring people to wake up and to become aware of our true nature.
And I've even heard that the standard deck of 52 playing cards that you play Pinochle or Bridge with, it can be used as tarot cards.
They can be used as cards to, you know, give us information. Yeah. I don't know about playing with a regular...
But they also match the sequence of cards in, even though a tarot doesn't have hearts, clubs, diamonds, and spades,
right.
It still has the four
royal families.
The royal families, right. The cups, the pinnacle.
Yeah.
At a loss for the other three.
In my deck, it's crystals, cups, worlds, and wands.
Okay. And every deck is a little different. I've actually gone into Paradise Found, and I've stood there looking at the shelves of cards. I have a deck that I carry in my briefcase, and I'll show it to you after the program. It's actually the – I think it's the Rose deck. I'll show it to you. Anyway, and I think, okay, do I want to get another deck? I mean, I don't use it that often, but I figure, you know, because we would go to these meetings every second or third Friday at the local restaurant here where a group of us would meet, and they would show us different techniques for laying out the forms. Yeah. And then they would give selected people readings.
Really? Who's this?
I'll share that with you also. We've actually had them on the program on Halloween a couple of years ago, talking about All Hallows Eve and the history, the real history of Halloween, in that regard. But it is nothing more than one of thousands of modalities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, there are thousands of decks of tarot cards, but tarot is just one form of
mirroring back to you.
Thank you.
What your own essential
self. I was going to use another word that was just
to
too charged.
Yeah, mirroring. It's a mirror.
Yeah.
It's a mirror. And I'm just the guide. That's all I am.
You're just kind of holding it up.
Yeah, that's why I love my work. Every time I sit down and have a reading, I'm like, both myself and my clients are stunned with the cards that come up.
Oh, I thought it was because of the view of the ocean from your place. Now, if people do want to get in touch with you, do you want to give a phone number or do you want to have them go to your website?
They can do either. I'll give my phone number. I have no problem calling me. It's 805-884-9447. That's 884-9447. And my website is, there are two addresses, patriciasparadigmshift.com.
Okay.
That's Patricia's with an S at the end of Patricia, patriciasparadigmshift.com or patriciadiorio.com will also get them there.
And it gets them to the same website.
Yes.
Okay.
And on my website, I talk about my work and I talk about my show and the different guests I've interviewed
Great. Yeah. Well, and I've had the opportunity of watching a DVD of some of the folks that you've interviewed, even some of the folks that we've had on this program, Greg Braden in particular. You've also interviewed Lipton.
Bruce Lipton.
Bruce Lipton.
One of my favorites.
I didn't see in there, but you probably interviewed Lynn McTaggart.
I interviewed Lynn McTaggart, I did, and she's the one that wrote The Field.
The Field, right. Now, that's interesting because when we talk about The Field, because we were talking earlier about it, I remember in my conversations with Greg, we were talking about the heart and what they've begun to find out about what is emanating from the heart and what resides there, if you will. And it's as we were talking, it's like it's the seat of emotion. And that when you have a thought, which is usually in your head, unless you put some inertia behind it, i.e.
emotion,
it goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. So you have to become passionate about what it is that you want in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You can think it all you want. And again, I get all these different emails about the law of attraction and what's missing. I remember after I had seen the DVD and I had read the book, and I get all these emails from different people saying, well, it's great, but they're missing this one thing because it's not happening for people the way they're teaching it in the DVD. Do you think that there's something missing? And I'm not necessarily wanting you to defend the law of attraction in the DVD or what have you.
I believe in the law of attraction, and I think that certainly the work of Abraham is incredible. I've studied the Abraham work extensively. But when I saw the movie The Secret, it really irritated me because I felt that there was too much focus on form. You know, the form, the house, the car, the relationship,
right,
the tall, dark, handsome guy, the curvaceous blonde, whatever. And, you know, form to me is a trap. When we focus on the form of what we think we want, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. So tying this in with this whole idea of what Greg talks about is getting into the feeling of what you're intending.
Yeah.
I think an easy way to do that, and one of the things I teach in my work and I employ when I read, is to focus on the essence qualities of what we're really looking for. So if I focus on a tall, dark, handsome guy with a lot of money who drives a Porsche, who lives in Montecito, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? I may bring him into my life, but he may be a total jerk, right? But if I focus on a relationship with a man that is founded and grounded in unconditional love and joy and peace and respect and commitment and intimacy and juicy sex and all the things that we really want in relationship, then I am actually adding emotion because I'm focusing on these essence qualities and I'm intending these essence qualities and putting them into the field, maybe in a powerful statement like, I, Patricia, am now in a relationship with a man with whom I have these essence qualities, and then I list them all out. When you're speaking essence qualities, it's easy to get into the feeling of what juicy intimacy would be like, or what fun and freedom and mutual respect and would be like. And then you let go of your attachment to the form and let the universe take care of the details, because the universe will bring forth the perfect form. He or she may not fit your picture, or whatever it is you're intending, may not fit your picture. But if all the essence qualities are there, who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's how I work with the whole idea of feeling your feelings in regard to your intentions.
Yeah. Before we wrap up the program, I have two final questions for you. I understand that you would describe yourself as a spiritual being having a human experience.
Right.
But my question goes to, who is Patricia Diario?
I am a woman who is committed to making a difference on the planet. I'm a woman who, from my own life experience, has come to own and accept as truth that we are indeed the divine expressed in form, and that we are indeed immeasurably powerful in our ability to create our reality. And it's not just Patricia that is that. It's all of humanity. It's every single human being on the planet. And my work, my mission, my dream, my soul's work, if you will, is to inspire people to wake up to this possibility. And I say possibility because for some people it's just a possibility. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I'm so intrigued with the whole scientific piece, Richard, is that science is proving this, right? Science is catching up with spirituality,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember when What the Bleep came out. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I went to L.A., and I had interviewed half of the people in that movie even before the movie came out. So mm-hmm. I was, like, right in the conversation.
Yeah.
And there were 1,000 of us in the audience listening to all of these panel discussions with everybody there, you know, everyone that was in that movie. And at the end of it, what the conclusion was this. We can't prove unequivocally what consciousness is, right?
Yeah.
But you're already there, everyone in the audience. You're already there. So science is catching up with where you are. You just keep going. You
yeah.
just keep going and knowing what you know. So my work, my devotion, my commitment in this experience is to really help people wake up to this conversation so that they can have a happy, productive, rich, delicious life in relationships that work, being financially free and abundant if that's their choice, living where they want to live, doing the kind of work that lights them up, having great relationships with family and friends and with the earth.
Mm.
I think this is a paradise that we're here. This is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven is not up there and hell is not down there. Heaven and hell are here.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on our perspective. And it depends on how we create it to be in our own personal mm. lives. So that's what I'm committed to. I'm a woman committed to that.
Why this? Why now?
Because it's time. We are an evolving species. You know, when we go 365 days around the sun, we don't end up where we started from. We're in a spiral. We're spiraling through space. And this, of course, is Barbara Marx Hubbard's work, and she's a mentor of mine. You know, we're an evolving species, and we are right now at a critical time where we are birthing a new planet. We are birthing Homo noeticus, Homo universalis, she calls it,
mm.
right? We're moving away from Homo sapiens sapien, right? We're moving into a humanity that is evolving to a point where we're waking up to who we are truly and to our power to create our world, which she calls Homo universalis or Homo noeticus. So why I'm so committed, I think I came in with this assignment, if you will, in this life. I've always been devoted to spirit. From the time I was a little girl, even though it was wrapped up in Catholicism, I was very devoted. And my whole life's dream beyond everything is to serve humanity and to make a difference in whatever way I can possibly make a difference.
Well, I'd like to thank you for sharing your story and making a difference here on the program.
Thank you.
And we look forward to talking with you again in the near future. And people can go to patriciadiorio.com
mm-hmm.
to find out more about you and the work that you're doing and get in touch with you for additional work that they can do on themselves with
right.
you as the facilitator.
Right. May I mention something that I'm
Very
going
quick.
To be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Very quick. I'm doing a women's circle, just women, and I'm limiting it to just 4 women because I do it in my home, and it's really about women that are ready to move to their next level of understanding spirituality and personal growth.
Quick phone number?
805-884-9447. And when it will begin the first Wednesday in May. I think it's the 4th.
Okay.
I don't have it on the tip of my tongue, but
First
Wednesday in May. Great. And my name is spelled D-I-O-R-I-O if you want to check me out on the internet.
And that's Tell Me Your Story for today. Until next Saturday, love Talal.